What I'm dealing with today is this subject, Christ crucified, the counsel of God. In other words, I'm saying that when we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and all that that involves, we preach the whole counsel of God, all the counsel of God. Now, without a doubt, the Apostle Paul is the preacher's pattern. I'm sure that that's so. The Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. God miraculously called him. God gifted him. God honored him with unusual revelations. And God used this man, Paul, to write 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament. He is, without a doubt, the preacher's pattern. And then his message and his ministry, if he is the preacher's pattern, ought to be studied carefully. We ought to study his ministry, study his methods, study his message. We ought to study the Apostle Paul because God blessed him and God used him as he has used no man since. The Apostle Paul was mightily used of God. And then I know this, there's no way that you can briefly sum up the ministry of such a man. That's an impossibility. You can't sum up the ministry of the Apostle Paul, his message, his ministry, in just a few words. But he made two statements. He made two statements, one to the church elders at Ephesus and one to the church at Corinth, which I believe give us an understanding of his message. You can take these two statements. One, he gathered the elders from Ephesus and spoke to them, he said, for the last time. And he made a statement in that message. And then in his letter to the Corinthians, the first epistle, he made another statement. And putting these together, you have some understanding of this man's ministry and message. Now, the first statement in Acts chapter 20, when he was speaking to the elders, he said this, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I tell you this, no man can hold me responsible for his damnation, he says. I'm pure from the blood of all men. Because in my message and in my ministry, I have not shunned, not out of fear of men. He said, I don't fear men. I fear God. Not because of covetousness or the love of money, not desire for approval, not ambition. Nothing has kept me from preaching the full purpose, counsel, and redemptive glory of Almighty God. I charge you with that this day, he said. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, he said, this is the last time you'll see my face. This is the last time I'll preach to you. But I want you to understand this. I've preached the Word of God without fear, without covetousness, without desire for approval, and I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. I haven't shunned to declare unto you all that God's taught me. And then the second statement, which he made to the church at Corinth. And listen to this carefully. In the opening statements of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said, And I, brethren, when I came to you, preaching the Word of God, all the counsel of God, the testimony of God. When I came to you preaching the Word of God, I didn't come preaching in a clever, intellectual, witty, showy way, declaring unto you the testimony of God, not with great oratory or intellectualism or trying to be clever or trying to draw attention to myself. For I determined, now listen to this, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. that your faith should not stand in my wisdom or the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, Paul is saying, I preach, I have not shunned to preach for any reason, all the counsel of God. I haven't backed down. I haven't refused. I haven't hesitated to declare all the counsel of God. And he says that is summed up in this. I am determined to preach nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when we preach Christ and Him crucified, when we preach Christ, the cross of Christ, we preach all the counsel of God. For all that God Almighty has purposed, decreed, planned, and given to sinners, to sons of Adam, is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's all there. All of it. Now you may ask me, well, preacher, how can we preach all the counsel of God by preaching Christ and Him crucified? How in the world can that be done? If you preach the cross, if you preach Christ and Him crucified, you say you preach all the counsel of God. That's right. Well, how can that be done? Well, I'm going to show you today. I'm going to show you how that by preaching the cross, preaching Christ and Him crucified, you preach all the counsel of God in regard to sinners. All the counsel of God. All right? Now, if you want to, get a pencil and paper and jot these things down. You might want to refer back to them again or back to the scriptures or write for the tape. We'll send you the tape. I'll give you the address at the end of the program. But number one, if we preach Christ and Him crucified, if we preach the cross of Christ. Now listen, number one, we must preach the eternal purpose and counsel of God, the eternal will of God that gave birth to the cross and to the death of Christ. If you want to start preaching the cross of Christ, you don't start at Bethlehem or Jerusalem or in Pilate's hall. You go clear back to the foundations of the world. You see, the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, was no afterthought of God. For Christ, the Scripture says, was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What happened at Calvary, what happened at the cross, was purposed and planned by Almighty God before the world began. That's what the Scripture says in Revelation 13:8, talked about the book of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before man fell, God made Christ, God chose Christ as our Savior and our surety. Paul carries this theme into the book of Hebrews. He says, Christ is the surety of an everlasting covenant, a covenant that has no beginning or ending. It's an everlasting covenant. He said, Christ is the shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Not the covenant of works, not the covenant given to Moses or Abraham, but the everlasting covenant. Now watch this. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. God declares the end from the beginning. And we were chosen in Christ, in the crucified Christ, before the foundation of the world. So if you preach the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, His crucifixion, you've got to go back where it started. You see, when the angels fell before men. The angels fell before the world was created. And the Scripture says God has reserved the angels in chains of darkness, everlasting chains of darkness unto the judgment of that great day. When they fell, they perished. Well, when Adam fell, who represented all men, in Adam we died, by one man's disobedience we were all made sinners, why didn't we all perish then? Why didn't God put us immediately in everlasting chains of darkness with no hope? Because we had a surety. Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ was the Lamb provided the sacrifice provided in the purpose and counsel of God before man fell. That's what the Scripture says. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So when Adam fell, God preserved him and kept him because out of Adam's race, there were people for whom Christ would suffer and die on the cross. So when you preach the cross of Christ, you go back to the everlasting counsels of God. Secondly, if you preach the cross of Christ, you must preach the fall of men. The fall of men. For if men are not sinners, there's no need for Christ to come into the world and die such an ignominious, terrible, horrible death. It says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if we're not sinners, there's no need for Christ to come. There's no need for Christ to die. But in Adam we die. By Adam's death we died. In Christ we're made alive. By Christ's death we live. By Adam's death we die. By Christ's death we live. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Do you see this? When you preach the cross, in the cross of Christ, our sinfulness is revealed. Oh, the great sinfulness of sin. Paul called it the exceeding sinfulness of sin, which sent God's Son to the cross. The inability of man is revealed. The certainty of judgment is revealed. God's wrath against sin is revealed nowhere like at Calvary. So if you preach the cross of Christ, you must preach the fall of man, the fall, the inability, the corruption of man, and the judgment that rests upon us, the curse of the broken law. Thirdly, if you preach the cross of Christ, you must preach the holiness and righteousness and justice of God, which required the death of Christ for sinners. You see, my friend, why did Christ hang on the cross? You know, I heard a preacher on television recently, and he was trying to tell us why Christ didn't come down from the cross. They stood and they said, "Come down from the cross and we'll believe you." And he said something about, well, Christ didn't perform miracles of that nature to present himself to people, like he didn't turn the stones into bread and so forth at Satan's command. And Christ Jesus didn't come down from the cross because he was submissive to the will of God. And Christ Jesus did not come down from the cross because of his love for us. But let me tell you something. Christ hung on that cross as a representative, as a federal head, as the surety of a people. And he hung there because God is holy and God must punish sin. God is righteous and his law and justice must be honored. God is just and the soul that sinneth must die. And Jesus Christ took our sins in his body on the tree. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore our sins. He was made sin for us. And he had to stay on that cross because he was guilty. Christ had no sin of his own, knew no sin, did no sin. But he was a substitute. He took our sins, and he had to die in order that God might be just and justify the ungodly. You see, God said, "I'm a just God and a Savior." And he sent his Son to be a sin offering that he might be just and justified. The main reasons Christ stayed on that cross, number one, he is our representative. Number two, he bore our sins. Number three, the judgment and wrath of God fell on him in our place instead. Number four, if he came down from the cross, he couldn't be our Savior. He wouldn't honor God's law, nor would he honor God's justice, nor would he satisfy God's justice. Do you see that? God can't compromise his character. Christ must die. He must suffer. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Christ must go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. He was our Savior. There is no other way. There's no other way that a holy God can be just and justify a sinner except for sin to be punished in that sinner's substitute. Now that's so. And when you preach the cross of Christ, you preach the holiness of God. I know a lot of people, when they talk about the holiness of God and the wrath of God against sin, they'll take you to the flood, which is true. They'll take you to Sodom and Gomorrah, which is true. They'll take you to hell, talk about hell, which is true. But nowhere, I mean nowhere, do you see the justice and righteousness and holiness of an almighty God like you see it at Calvary. That's His Son on the cross. That's God in human flesh. That's His only begotten. And He's hanging on that cross. Why? Because God is just. Because God will punish sin. And He was wounded for our sins, our iniquity, our transgressions. He bore our sins. He died in our place. And He must die or He can't save anybody. So you preach God's holiness. Fourthly, if we preach the cross of Christ, we preach the deity and glory of Jesus Christ. You see, that which made His work effectual and sufficient before the throne of God is His person, who He is. It's not just the death of Calvary, but the important thing at Calvary is who died. It's not just the blood that was shed. I know without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. But it's whose blood? It's who died at Calvary and whose blood was shed at Calvary. Somebody asked the question, how could one man die for so many? Because of who he is. That's what Paul is saying in Romans 8:34. He asked this question, who is he that condemneth? Or rather, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. And then he said, well, who is he that can condemn? Who can condemn me? It is Christ that died. It is Christ that died. It's who died. Yea, rather, it is Christ that's risen again. It is Christ who is at the right hand of God. It is Christ who intercedes for us. Jesus Christ is a man, right, but He is God. He is the God-man. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. In John 1, I want you to listen to this. In John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. And then it says in John 1, 1, and the Word was with God. And then it said in verse 14, and He dwelt among us. And then it says in verse 1, and He was God. In the beginning was the Word. He was with God. He was God. And we beheld His glory. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And that's who's on that cross. It's the very Son of God. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And that is what gave efficacy to His sacrifice. That's what gave sufficiency to His offering. It's who died. Who died? Can you see that? If you preach the cross, you preach the eternal counsel of God, you preach the fall of man, you preach the holiness of God. That's where if you want to take anybody to a place where they can see these things, take them to the Calvary, take them to the cross. They see the holiness of God. They see the deity of Christ. How can one man shed his blood and die a short period of time, one day on a cross, and redeem people from sins of all generation? Who is he? Who is he? Fifthly, if we preach the cross of Christ, we preach the fulfillment of every promise, prophecy, and picture of the Old Testament. We preach the fulfillment of all 39 books in the Old Testament. Listen to Luke 24. Listen to our Lord. He says, these are the words which I spake unto you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the Old Testament scriptures. And he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and die and rise again the third day. That's what the Old Testament's all about. When you preach the cross, you preach the fulfillment of all the Old Testament pictures, promises, patterns, prophecies. See, the Old Testament has no meaning or message apart from the cross of Christ. That's right, no meaning or message. How do you explain the woman's seed bruising the serpent's head without the cross? How do you explain Abel's sacrifice different from Cain's without the cross? How do you explain the Passover lamb without the cross? How do you explain Noah's ark without the cross? Deliverance from judgment. How do you explain the tabernacle? What does it mean? The priesthood, the mercy seat. What is the mercy seat? A covering, a propitiation, an atonement. What is an atonement? How do you explain the atonement? How do you explain the smitten rock, the serpent lifted up? How do you explain any of these things without the cross of Christ? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And anywhere you turn in the Old Testament, to Him give all the prophets witness. That's the reason Paul said, when I'm determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And when I preached Christ and Him crucified, I preached the whole counsel of God. From eternity past, well, let's move on. If we preach the cross of Christ, we preach the love of God for sinners. Where do you see the love of God demonstrated as nowhere else? Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Herein is love. Herein is love. You want a sermon on love? God's love for sinners? Here it is. Herein is love. How plain can you get? Here is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a propitiation, a mercy seat, a covering, an atonement for our sins. Gave him where? On the cross. Nowhere is the love of God so evident as at Calvary. Nowhere, nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. So if you preach the cross, you preach the most effective illustration God has ever given of his everlasting, unchanging love for sinners. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end, even the cross. All right, seventh. If we preach the cross of Christ, we preach full justification by faith and not by works. Not by works. In other words, if Jesus Christ, my Lord, represents me and you before the law of God, before the justice of God, before the throne of God, and in his life, he fully satisfied that law, and in his death, he fully satisfied that justice, then I have nothing to pay. The debt's paid. I have nothing to do but believe. You see, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I'm complete in him. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owed. I can't add anything to what he did, especially when he said it's finished. It's finished, and went to the right hand of God and sat down. And the Scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're what? Healed. Salvation's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by the grace of God. Salvation is free. Therefore, being justified with God, we have peace. And there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. And Paul said in Romans, I conclude that a man is justified before God by faith and not by works. And if Christ died and paid the debt, all of it, then there's nothing for me to pay. There can't be any works involved. You said, don't believers work? Sure they do, but faith worketh by love. Believers work and serve and give and labor because they love Christ, not to obligate the Lord. And then in the next place, if we preach Christ crucified, we preach the preservation and the final perseverance of all for whom he died. He can't fail. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh I'll in no wise cast out. No, Christ can't fail. The blood of Christ cannot be without effect. He cannot be disappointed. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And the pleasure of the Lord, Isaiah said, shall prosper in his hand. He can't fail. He can't fail. So we will be kept. We will be preserved. And we will persevere. Now watch this. And if we preach the cross of Christ, we preach his resurrection. And consequently, our resurrection. He must die if he's raised. You can't preach resurrection unless Christ died. And if you preach he died, you can't leave him in the grave. He's got to be raised. And because he said, I live, you live. Christ is resurrected and has become the first fruits of them that sleep. What's first fruits? That means there's plenty of fruit to follow. So we shall rise also. We preach our own resurrection when we preach the cross. Christ paid the debt. Put the sin away, was buried as our scapegoat and rose again. All right, if we preach the cross of Christ, we preach the Holy Spirit's work, because Christ said when he's come, he won't speak of himself. He'll glorify me. He'll take the things of mine and show them to you. What are the things of mine? My death, my burial, my resurrection, and my exaltation. That's what he's going to show you. That's what gives you confidence and hope. If we preach the cross of Christ, we preach the holiness of believers, the righteous walk of believers. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Why am I not my own? Christ bought me. He bought me with the price of his blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. And in the last place, 12thly, when we preach the cross of Christ, we preach his return. The angel stood after Christ was resurrected and ascended to glory, and they said to his disciples, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Our Lord said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I will come again. Now, if you want this message on a cassette tape, Christ Crucified, the Counsel of God, write, send $2, and I'll mail it to you. There'll be another message on the other side. Until next week, may God bless you.